Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Memorial Day on this Monday, May 30th, 2022. I'm so delighted that you who are listening are taking time out from your festivities and celebrations with your family, friends, and loved ones in order to listen to this program today. And I'm especially grateful that our guest has taken some time away from his own relaxing Memorial Day weekend with his family to be a part of this program. I'm speaking of one of my favorite guests to interview on this program, Josh Bice, who is pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, and founder and president of G3 Ministries. We're going to be discussing the future of the Southern Baptist Convention, an analysis of the abuse and cover-up scandal, and we'll also be announcing the 2022 G3 Regional Conference. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Josh Bice.
Good to be with you, Chris.
And tell our listeners about Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia.
Sure. Praise Mill Baptist Church is a Reformed Baptist church on the west side of Atlanta, 180 years old. My wife and I grew up there as children, and I've had the privilege to pastor the church for the last 12 years. So that's the local church that I am privileged to serve and to be a member of.
And if anybody wants more information about that church, go to praisemill.com, and that's praysmill.com. And I hope that if you live there, near that church, you will certainly visit. And if you are going on vacation, that you will visit. And if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, that you will recommend that they visit and perhaps even join that fine congregation. Tell us about G3 Ministries.
Yeah, Chris, G3 Ministries is a parachurch ministry that exists to educate, encourage, and equip local churches and individual believers with sound biblical theology. It originally started in the context of our local church as a conference, but in year 2020, it went through a transition to basically become a ministry that produces content, but also hosts conferences and workshops. And so we have a national conference every other year. We have regional conferences in the off year. We also host workshops on biblical preaching as well as biblical worship.
And you're having an exciting regional conference coming up in Washington, D.C., right near the Museum of the Bible. I am so thrilled to be attending that myself and representing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there. And the theme, I know, is going to be just thinking about the Bible. Tell us about this conference.
Yeah, Chris, this is the off year. So next year in September of 2023, we will have our national conference. But this year we're hosting a regional conference in Washington, D.C., and it's also in September. You can find out information on the website g3min.org. But the conference itself is going to be devoted to the sufficiency of Scripture. So we're going to be looking at the importance of God's Word, the sufficiency of Scripture, and then we'll have sermons and breakout sessions on various different, you know, topics connected to that main theme.
And I know you are going to be on the speaking roster, and you will be joined by Stephen Lawson, one of my favorite preachers. I think everybody who has ever heard him preach, who is a Bible-believing Christian, lists Stephen Lawson as one of their favorite preachers. My longtime dear friend, going back to 1996, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and also the co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast, from where the theme of the conference is coming from, Just Thinking About the Bible, Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker. So everyone who attends this, I am sure, will be thoroughly edified. If you are a lover of God's Word and a disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe you'll be profoundly benefited by this conference. And even if you are not a Christian, if our Christian listeners who are attending want to bring a non-Christian along, I think it would be very valuable for them, perhaps even especially. If you want more details on this, go to g3min.org, g3min.org. Well, we are talking about a very controversial theme today, and one of the reasons why there might be a certain level of discomfort discussing this is that you and I both have very dear friends who are really superb Christians and ministers of the gospel who remain in leadership in some capacity with the Southern Baptist Convention. We might perhaps desire that they eventually leave that denomination if the denomination or members of that denomination who are in the highest levels of leadership do not repent. But it is nonetheless a cause for a bit of discomfort. I don't know if you feel as much of it as I do, but I do have dear friends that I've even interviewed on this program. In fact, you and I share a very close friendship with Dr. Tom Askell, who is running for president of this denomination. And I have the highest regard for Tom. But if you want to state in your own words, as we begin this discussion, especially to clarify that we are not in any way trying to besmirch the reputations of good, solid Christians within that denomination.
Yeah, Chris, that's a really good word as we begin the conversation today, because the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination in America. And, you know, the convention itself has about 47,000 churches that make up the membership of this convention. And yet, this convention is really at a crisis moment at this very juncture. They're preparing for the annual meeting here in just a couple of weeks, where they will elect a new president. And really, in many ways, the two leading candidates for that specific role both view the convention in two different ways. One sees it as basically a convention that's relatively healthy and strong and needs good leadership, whereas the other candidate sees the convention at a crisis moment that needs massive reform. And so as it pertains to the recent, you know, release of the independent report that came from Guidepost, was released on May 22nd, last Sunday, Sunday week ago. And it was basically a report that was sparked by a Houston Chronicle report that was released in 2019 that revealed some 700 cases of sexual misconduct and sexual abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention. And so over the past couple of years, there's been a move really to investigate and to find out what in the world's going on here. And so there's been a cry from the convention itself to investigate. So back in 2021, at the last annual meeting, the messengers of the SBC voted to approve an investigation, basically, that would be funded by the funds of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is a massive undertaking. It was the largest investigation in the history of the SBC, and it's basically cost the SBC messengers or the members, the churches, the local churches of this convention, it's cost them near $2 million. And the findings have been a bombshell. Over the past week or so, there have been many different responses, but undoubtedly the response has been shock at some of the names of the largest figures within the SBC being accused of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, adultery, and the list goes on and on and on. And so I wrote an article, you can find it at g3men.org, in response to this entire investigative report. And my position is this, it's a crisis. Yes, it is a crisis. It is shocking. It's heartbreaking to hear about these cases, these accusations, these situations of sexual misconduct. But the article that I wrote was basically arguing this point, is that it is not the role of the Southern Baptist Convention moving forward to be the police department of local churches. God has ordained, and this will be something that we could flesh out and discuss throughout this program, Chris, is that God has ordained the sphere of the local church with church discipline, and he's also ordained civil authorities, so Romans 13, for cases of crimes and misconduct and things that transcend the sphere of the church. The sword has been placed in the hand of the government to deal with issues related to crimes against women and children. So when we see this report, yes, it's shocking, but then now there are people who are suggesting that there needs to be a database or a registry, if you will, that the SBC monitors where names of individuals who have been either accused or found guilty of these various different sins to be placed on this database. And so I would just push back against that, and I would point once again to this crisis moment as a moment to take a turn towards biblical sufficiency. And I believe that the convention is at a juncture where that needs to happen. Either it will go in the way of pragmatism and it will suffer greatly, or it will take a turn in the right direction towards embracing biblical sufficiency, which will lead the convention to health and strength.
Now, from what you have described, the sexual abuse within leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention runs the spectrum. It seems to me, from the way you described it, it includes a voluntary adultery on both parties' part, and also going all the way down to the most heinous and grotesque of crimes, the molesting of children.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you have in this investigative report, you have everything from consensual adultery to crimes against children. And it's shocking. It's heartbreaking.
And from what you know of all of these allegations, are there any that are proving to be false allegations at this point?
Well, there are actually. I mean, it's not that we can prove that they're false. I mean, the jury's still out on that, but we do see discrepancies. You see individuals like Johnny Hunt, who has served in the Georgia Baptist circles for many years. He's a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he was, until just recent weeks, an employee of the North American Mission Board. And yet he finds his name in this report and a whole story of sexual misconduct and adultery or at least an assault against a woman, even if it didn't make it all the way to the level of adultery. And yet now he's written a letter and he's published a letter stating that the findings of this report, or that the contents that are contained in this report, are not accurate. And so you're seeing individuals on various different levels, some more well-known and others lesser known, that are, you know, pushing back against the accusations at various levels. So there's going to be all sorts of problems when a report is just dropped like this. Once again, I think it's it's indicative of the problem of the Southern Baptist Convention. The overwhelming majority of the churches in the SBC, Chris, do not practice biblical church discipline. And so when you have churches that aren't practicing church discipline, now there's a need, or you know, at least from many people within the SBC itself, they feel the tension for the need for someone to do something. And that's where you get this investigative report and then the push for a database and so on and so forth. But I would argue that if the churches are healthy and they're practicing biblical church discipline, then those cases that avoid biblical church discipline at whatever level, or are crimes against children, or assaults against women, or even little boys for that matter, then you can always go to the sphere of the government and the civil authorities that can bring justice against the individuals who have committed crimes. And so even if a church is healthy and it's practicing biblical church discipline, if there's a crime that's committed, then the civil authorities must be engaged in that specific case as well. So it transcends the sphere of the local church at that level when a crime is committed. But once again, if you have churches that are practicing biblical church discipline, then there's proper confrontation, accountability, and discipline that brings about the removal of individuals from offices or even specific roles of employment. And you don't need to go create a police department, if you will, within the SBC to bring about proper action.
Now,
in other words, the word of God is sufficient, and that's the point that I'm driving at.
Now, is there some kind of a move to create some kind of denominational police force, using that term allegorically, I'm assuming, that you see in the horizon?
Yeah, so since the release, there have been all sorts of chatter on social media from various individuals who are suggesting that a database could be established whereby individuals who have been found guilty of adultery or guilty of sexual misconduct and assault, or even those who were accused of these various different sins, could be placed on this database, and it could bring about proper accountability. But my whole point is that this is going to create massive problems. It's going to open up Pandora's box, if you will. And once that's opened, it's going to be detrimental to the SBC. For instance, on Baptist Press's website, they released an article just yesterday, I believe it was, where there was a pastor that his name was found on this database. Well, a local news agency picked up the report and started browsing the report to see if there were any pastors in their local area that they could report on. And sure enough, they found the name of a specific pastor in their area. So they ran a news story on it, and it turns out it's the right name, but it's the wrong individual. And it caused massive controversy with his local church, and his local church has a school for children on the campus, and here he's being accused of misconduct. And so it caused a massive problem for him. And so once again, either the scriptures are sufficient and they reveal the blueprint that God gives for the local church and the sphere of authority for the local church and then the sphere of authority for civil authorities, or the scriptures aren't sufficient and then we need some database like this to be operative within the context of the SBC. And I believe that the mechanisms that God has created and established and ordained that are found in his word are actually sufficient.
Now, I'm assuming that there are a couple of issues here that are at the root of this being such an astronomical problem amongst the Southern Baptist Convention. First of all, you and I are Reformed Baptists. We believe in church discipline. But we also have to admit that even the most biblically faithful of churches who do conduct church discipline have found themselves in the tragic situation where someone in leadership or members of the congregation are involved in scandalous sins such as adultery, child molestation, and all of the spectrum of sins that we are discussing that seem to be so prevalent in the Southern Baptist Convention. But having said that, you can exacerbate a situation highly by not conducting church discipline and also being quick to restore people to leadership who have been exposed for some of these most grievous of sins that makes them, in my opinion, and I'm assuming yours, no longer candidates to be in leadership because of the scriptures' requirements of a man who is an overseer being above reproach. There are certain sins. If a pastor has lost his temper on several occasions or has done something that you can find within the hearts and in lives of most human beings, it wouldn't require necessarily the person being removed from office and being barred from office. But obviously there are things that would make a person no longer above reproach, not only within his own congregation, but in the community. So would that be, in your opinion, the root of some of this, that the lack of church discipline that you already mentioned, and also the belief in the restoration and even quick restoration of those found guilty of these scandalous sins?
Yeah, I think that's again, one of the problems that we see with this entire scenario, right? If you look at the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole, the majority of the churches don't have biblical church membership. When you think about the reality of the way members just bounce from church to church based on, you know, who has the best music or the best youth group or whatever it might be, and they just send a letter that's a courtesy note stating, we're just letting you know that the Smith family has joined our congregation. There's no phone call from pastor to pastor or from church to church to talk about the health of that family. Did they have a biblical rationale for leaving and joining another church that's 2.3 miles down the road? And so there's just all of this lack of health and true understanding of what biblical membership looks like. So when it pertains biblical church discipline, it's the same thing. So if someone that's serving as a pastor commits adultery and he disqualifies himself from the office, well, if he's disciplined appropriately within that church, and then when he goes away from the context of that church, if he pursues gospel ministry in another location, well, hopefully that church is going to be calling this other church to find out a little bit about his history and that sort of thing. And if he's seeking to evade all of that, obviously there are going to be men that are going to be wolves that are going to try to evade that sort of accountability. But if churches are doing their homework and evaluating pastors as they should, as well as members for that matter, as they should, then biblical church discipline actually functions the way that God intended it to function. So you don't need a database like this. Furthermore, there is a database that's already available for crimes against children and sexual misconduct of that nature, and it's held in the sphere of the civil authorities. And so, once again, we just have to ask ourselves the question, is God's word sufficient, and is the blueprint that God gives, is that sufficient, or do we need some other middle road sort of methodology, such as a database in the SBC?
Now, when you say that there are leaders who have been accused of serious sexual misconduct sins, are you talking about people who are still in leadership in the denomination? Or are you talking about people who are pastors of local congregations and elders, or a combination of both? What exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. I mean, some of these individuals that are in this report have already been excused from their positions or have resigned from their positions, knowing what was coming, you know, within the next few weeks. Others are pastors in local churches that are having to deal with that issue at this very moment as a bombshell was released. And so this investigative report is one thing, because a denomination is a denomination. And if there was a scandal that's happening and you know, the denomination sees fit to organize and produce an investigative report on these matters, well, then that's a decision that the denomination can make. But my pushback is for the creation of a database, a registry, if you will. I think that that's the role of the civil authorities and not a denominational group, if that makes sense.
So basically you're saying there are problems, serious problems within the Southern Baptist Convention that lie on both opposite ends of the spectrum. You're talking about those that want to respond in a very strict sense, but in a misguided sense. And then you have those on the other end of the spectrum being a part of the whole problem of nominal Christianity, of perpetuating congregations filled with unregenerate people, not obviously intentionally or even perhaps consciously, but having such a dumbed down and watered down understanding of what regeneration really is and what the Christian faith really is, that the testimonies are accepted of people with inadequate evidence of true repentant faith, inadequate fruit, and even children who are being pushed into baptism at young ages, not because they are giving evidence of truly repenting and having genuine faith, but because it's expected of them when they turn 12 or some age, almost mimicking paedo-Baptist denominations, except for the difference that you have an older child being baptized. In both scenarios, you don't have real faith. Am I somewhere in the right ballpark here?
Yeah, Chris, I think that where we're seeing nominal Christianity at play, you're also seeing some forms of the social justice movement at play here. And that's one of the things I'm concerned about, is that people want to engage in what we might call the Me Too movement or the Church Too movement and literally assassinate the character of individuals without proper knowledge of what actually did happen. So, again, I think that the sphere of the civil authorities have been given the responsibility of investigating crimes. When it comes to local church issues and misconduct or even sexual sin, say adultery or some sort of sin in that realm, the local church is called by God to take action against individuals within those local church contexts and then bring about the proper discipline, which might actually result in removing someone from an office or actually asking them to step down from denominational leadership at some level. And so I'm just concerned that the SBC at this very crisis moment, 2 weeks away from the next election of the next president in Anaheim, California, with an opportunity at this crisis moment to make a really good decision and elect Tom Askell to be the president and lead the convention to genuine reform, I'm afraid that they're going to take a left turn and embrace more pragmatism, which has been the Achilles heel, if you will, or the foundational error of the Southern Baptist Convention for so many years.
We're going to be going to our first break right now. If you have a question for Pastor Josh Bice on the Southern Baptist Convention, since he is a pastor, we will broaden the spectrum of topics over which you will be permitted to ask a question, a pastoral question, something about theology, doctrine, the Bible. But we are hoping to get a significant number of questions specifically on the Southern Baptist Convention and the crisis they are currently facing. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and obviously a subject like today's topic would lend itself to perhaps people who have personal and private matters they want to ask about submitting questions to us. So obviously we will grant your request to remain anonymous. But please, if it's just a general question, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Josh Bice of Praise Mill Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia, and G3 Ministries right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word. which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program is Josh Bice, pastor of Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, and founder and president of G3 Ministries. We are talking about an extremely controversial subject today, but one that I think requires us to address, especially since many of our friends and colleagues in ministry are somehow affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. And that theme is the future of the Southern Baptist Convention, an analysis of the abuse and cover-up scandal. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. We have an anonymous listener who says, a number of my friends in ministry have not long ago brought their churches into the Southern Baptist Convention that were formerly independent. What is the draw for our churches to do this? And is this something that you would recommend or warn against at this point in time?
Yeah, Chris, that's a great question. I think some of the benefits of being a part of the SBC, so if you're independent, a draw to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention might include the opportunity to partner in missions with other churches for, you know, the supply of missionaries or theological education. Again, you know, you have 6 SBC seminaries, and if you were an SBC church, then obviously your theological education would be about 50% of what a non-SBC student would cost. So those are some of the benefits, and I guess just the need to partner with other churches is important, and it's something that we should not undervalue. I disagree with the idea of just being an independent church that sees no value whatsoever in partnering with other sister churches. So I disagree with that. However, the second part of the question, I would disagree. I don't think it's a healthy move, honestly. And again, since I'm being you know, interviewed, and the question is specifically to me, I would say that now is not a good time to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. We just exited the Southern Baptist Convention because of long capitulation and an unwillingness to embrace the sufficiency of Scripture and genuine, healthy reformation. And so as a result of that, we as a local church are a part of the G3 Church Network, which functions in many ways as a as an opportunity for pastors and local churches to partner together, but yet to be independent, autonomous local churches at the very same time and yet disassociated with the Southern Baptist Convention. So the G3 Church Network, by the way, is a network, and it's not mutually exclusive. So if you're a part of that network, you can still be in the SBC as well. But I believe there's genuine, healthy relationships happening in the G3 Church Network. So I see no value for my local church to be associated officially with the SBC anymore.
RJ in Westchester County, New York, asks, how recent in history did the crumble of the Southern Baptist Convention begin when it comes to the promotion of nominal Christianity that you mentioned before, where people are kept on membership rosters, perhaps for decades, who have not even darkened the door of a particular church where they are allegedly a member in years, and may also have a very scandalous life, which remains undisciplined? I know that the origins of the Southern Baptist Convention were thoroughly Calvinistic, and Calvinist churches are typically very much involved in church discipline. So when did this fall come in regards to those issues?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you look at the history of the SBC, the founders of the SBC were largely Calvinistic. The convention itself was established in 1845, but soon thereafter, the convention started down a bumpy road, and it would eventually have a full-on embrace of pragmatism. Now, we know that historically, pragmatism is this idea or methodology that whatever works, do it. And so the convention itself has been committed to a big tent operation. In many ways, the Southern Baptist Convention prides itself on its bigness. It prides itself on being the largest Protestant denomination. So to maintain that size and to maintain the top rung in the ladder sort of position within evangelical denominations, then you have to maintain that size by employing pragmatism at various different levels. And so you can go back to like 1954 when you can see the explosion, if you will, of the church growth movement. And you see a campaign that was established officially by the Southern Baptist Convention that was titled A Million More in 54. And the idea was that there would be a million more baptized members of the Southern Baptist Convention churches in the year 54. And so what happens is that these churches start doing things, and they start creating programs, and they start employing gimmicks and various ministry strategies that would allow them to reach those goals. And so that's problematic. And so the birth of the church growth movement and the explosion of individuals like Rick Warren and others have been embraced wholeheartedly by the SBC for years. And so it's been detrimental. And so we find ourselves, or at least the SBC does, within evangelicalism today, finds itself at a massive crisis moment, and they must deal with this. And the future of the convention is at stake here.
Now, would you say that this downward slide coincided with the dominant membership of the Southern Baptist Convention switching gradually over the years from theologically reformed to theologically Arminian?
Yeah, that played a large role in it. And then in recent years, you've been seeing the seminaries of the SBC that were largely established, much like you can look back to Harvard, for instance, and you can see these institutions that were established for the training of men. For the training of men for what? To go to the pulpit and to preach the word of God faithfully. And so Harvard obviously went off the rails and is gone completely, and this happened many years ago. But you can also look to the establishment of the Southern Baptist Convention entities, the seminaries, and you can see how they were established for the training of men, largely for ministry. But now, in recent years, these seminaries have been priding themselves and publishing reports, and they've been boasting in the number of women that they have enrolled and graduating from their ranks. And even recently, Danny Aiken, the president of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, was seen on Twitter getting his picture made with a woman who's boasting about graduating from the pastoral studies track of that institution. And she wow. even went on to tell a story about her preaching in seminary class.
Wow.
And so this is detrimental to the convention as a whole, and they must right the ship or it's going to be completely gone.
Now, currently, even though this woman was degreed at a Southern Baptist seminary and was given opportunities to preach in the class and so on, is it still not a rule amongst every congregation in the denomination that prohibits women in ordained leadership?
No, actually, it's not a rule. It's, you know, if you look at the Baptist Faith and Message, the actual statement of faith for the SBC, it's very loose language as it pertains to the office of pastor. And so the controversy right now is whether or not someone whether or not a specific local church, if you will, can have a woman who functions in the way that a pastor does by preaching, say, on the Lord's Day, but yet she remains an individual who's not ordained officially for the office of pastor. So they're playing fast and loose with this issue, and it's a battle for the dictionary in many ways, because these individuals will pride themselves on being quote-unquote complementarian, but they're functioning as if they're not truly complementarian. So you're starting to see a third way, a middle of the road sort of opportunity that's emerging within the context of the SBC and Big Eva, as a whole, if you will. You're starting to see lots of individuals who are starting to chart a new path for soft complementarianism and that sort of thing. So once again, this is pragmatism. It leads pragmatism as a foundation leads to other areas of capitulation. And that's what we're seeing with the way that the convention is approaching this sex scandal. And it's also the way that the SBC is approaching other issues related to women in ministry as well.
Now, if you could explain the nickname that you just used, Big Eva.
Yeah, Big Eva is just a simple nickname for the larger, broader evangelical circle or stream that the Southern Baptist Convention swims in. So you have within those branches, you'll have other mainline denominations like the PCA or even the various, forms of the Methodist Church. And so when you start looking at Big Eva, it sort of uses some of those streams, but it also involves a lot of non-denominational churches, independent churches, and that sort of thing.
You mentioned the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America. They are really going through very similar problems as the Southern Baptist Convention. It seems that they are hand in hand in the same types of trials and downward slides that are existent in the Southern Baptist Convention, are they not?
Yeah, the PCA is in a crisis moment as well, and they're slugging it out presently on issues related to gay Christianity and social justice, and it's social justice has encompassed and worked its way into all of the large evangelical denominations, and that's without hesitation. I know you and I have talked about this on your show for the last couple of years, and what we have seen is that the social justice movement has been welcomed into the gates of these various denominations, and this social justice train, when it came through the gates, has been unpacking its boxcars of various different goods and ideologies for since, you know, 2017 and even beyond. Earlier than that, it started. And so what you're seeing now is you're seeing the result of it, and a lot of people are exiting these big denominations. A lot of people are leaving the PCA. A lot of people are leaving the Southern Baptist Convention. So you mentioned this independent church that's joined the Southern Baptist Convention. If you look at the statistics show the reverse is far more popular right now. Churches are exiting the Southern Baptist Convention and the numbers are decreasing rapidly. So once again, they're at a moment where they need to really look at the situation at hand and make a decision to deal with the sufficiency of Scripture issue. Chris, the Southern Baptist Convention fought a literal bloody war over biblical inerrancy from 1979 all the way through the early 2000s. But what's happened is that although they pride themselves as a convention that really stands on biblical inerrancy, that they never have even entered the battlefield on biblical sufficiency. And so that's why we're seeing so many problems. That's why they're embracing pragmatism, is because they don't look to the Bible for biblical church membership, biblical discipline, biblical worship, and the list goes on and on and on.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us because the midway break is always longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because they are required by the FCC to air their public service announcements and other things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, and therefore they air those things that localize this to Lake City. And while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So I'm asking you, please, to use this time wisely. I'm asking you to please write down as much of the information as you can that our advertisers provide so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. Hopefully that means on occasion purchasing their products, using their services, supporting their parachurch organizations, visiting their churches. But when you cannot do those things, at least you can certainly respond to those advertisers and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by using the contact information they provide in their ads. So please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring this show. If indeed you are grateful that there are people who are sharing God's money, the money that God has gifted them with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in order to maintain our existence. If you love this show and you are grateful for its sponsors, please thank them. And also send in questions to Josh Bice on the issue at hand, on the Southern Baptist Convention, the future of this convention, and the analysis of the scandals, the predominantly sexual scandals and abuse scandals and their cover-up. And send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back right after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Father's Day is coming up, and of course, summer is a prominent time of year where many people have wedding anniversaries and marriage celebrations. And there are also graduation events taking place, birthdays, all kinds of events, and also condolences that you want to offer to a loved one who has lost someone close to them in death. Well, solid-ground-books.com is your perfect place to go for the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, order frequently and generously today. And also, folks, please don't forget that if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, a physical address will appear on your screen where you can mail a physical check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we will be forever grateful to you for your generosity. We urgently need it. I always try to remind our listeners, please never give your own church where you are a member, a good, solid, biblically faithful church, never give that church less money in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, don't curse your church financially by blessing us financially. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, I don't want anyone plunging themselves into further financial jeopardy because you have given a gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please wait until you are more financially stable and on your feet financially before you send us a gift. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and family, providing for the radio show, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is obviously not a command of Scripture. But if you love the show and you are thoroughly blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue broadcasting this program. We are in urgent need of your help. Also, if you would like to advertise with us, as long as you are promoting something that's compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. If that is the case, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. So no matter where on the planet you live, if you do not have a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send a question to Josh Bice. And if you recall, we have a very important theme here today, the future of the Southern Baptist Convention, an analysis of the abuse and cover-up scandal. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, "I tuned in just as you were talking about the fact that you are against a database of those that are guilty of sins involved in the scandal. How do you then suggest that these people don't freely bounce from church to church without any kind of pushback or red light going off?"
Yeah, so to recap what we had talked about in the first hour, Chris, I'm all for holding individuals who have sinned accountable. But I think that the sphere of the local church is where that's intended to take place. And I think that that's God's blueprint. You know, if we read the scriptures, we look at God's word, we see the sufficient blueprint that he put on display for us there. And so I think when denominations start creating databases, the question becomes, who's going to be in charge of monitoring those databases?
Right.
You know, are we going to really put the most pragmatic-minded people in the history of evangelicalism in charge of monitoring a database that could potentially railroad someone for the rest of their ministry and the rest of their life?
And in fact, that's an equally serious sin to the sins for which they are accused.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you got to ask yourself an honest question. Are the people who have been consistently unwilling to engage in biblical church discipline and to follow the scriptures as the Bible teaches us to, you know, hold one another accountable and to pursue holiness and all this within the sphere of the local church, are we going to really trust those individuals who have resisted that for all of these years to actually monitor a database appropriately? And I think that the honest answer to that is no, we're not going to trust those individuals. So to recap, I believe that the sphere of the civil authorities is where we should have such databases. And those databases should be established based on crimes or crimes against children. But in the cases of individuals who have been, you know, accused of adultery or accused of some sort of sexual misconduct, I think that you go to the sphere of that local church and you deal with it in a local level. And if the churches that make up the Southern Baptist Convention are willing to embrace biblical church discipline, then it's within those contexts that those individuals can be disciplined appropriately and be removed from office or asked to step down from denominational leadership.
And we mentioned before that someone who is only those who are qualified to be as elders of a church are to be above reproach, and that would basically be that they are known for godly, repentant lives, and that they are not guilty of a scandalous sin that a church could not really recover from without still having a horrible blot on their reputation in the community. Am I somewhere in the ballpark of accurately describing that?
Yeah, yeah. So individuals who have committed these sins, I believe, should be disqualified from serving in pastoral ministry, and in many cases, disqualified from serving as professors or from denominational leadership. However, I just think the way that you approach those decisions and the way that you approach the discipline and the disciplinary action against those individuals, I think it either rests in the sphere of the local church or the sphere of the civil authorities. And I believe that the scriptures are sufficient. So what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, So if we really believe that, then we need to actually demonstrate that by how we function in the life of our denominations and networks and local churches.
Now, obviously, discipline involves a key goal, a primary goal of discipline, which is an act of love, by the way, is to restore a person to good standing with the church and to be put back into a right relationship with God so that they are not living in rebellion against God. But being restored to membership in good standing does not mean restored to leadership positions.
That's correct. And it very well may be that an individual may fall into some sort of sin, sexual misconduct, that would result in them being restored, forgiven, and embraced as a brother or sister in Christ in the context of the local church, but they may need to step down from being pastor, or they may need to step down from being a professor, or maybe serving in some sort of denominational leadership position. So yes, you are right. But once again, biblical church discipline works, and it's healthy, and it's good, and it's profitable. And the Bible is sufficient to give us how we are to, the steps, if you will, of how we are to engage in these various different scenarios that we face. And the SBC, once again, is at this critical moment where it can determine to embrace the sufficiency of God's word or embrace pragmatism. And it's consistently embraced pragmatism for so long. Now would be a fantastic opportunity to take a step in the right direction.
Now, obviously, there must be fear amongst many to take the steps of trying to transform the way they conduct polity and discipline, because there are many massive Southern Baptist congregations where a fear of a loss of maybe even the majority of people in those places is at stake, because those leaders know, or at least are very confident, that a vast number, possibly even a majority, are not even regenerate, or they're not living like they are, because of the nominalism that has overtaken not only the Southern Baptist Convention, but many churches in the Bible Belt. Have perpetuated nominalism and have turned Christianity into something that is merely expected of an American patriot expected of a Southerner. The people will be called Christian just because they come from generations of Baptists or Presbyterians or conservative Methodists and Anglicans and Pentecostals. And this just perpetuates this, for lack of a better term, sorry for the crass analogy, but the breeding of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, Chris. And, when you look at the fear among the leaders of this convention, it was very much evident last year when they, vehemently opposed, if you will, the conservative candidate at the time, and now they are doing the very same thing with Tom Askell as well. And so when I wrote this article that you can find at g3men.org, where I'm pushing back against the way in which the SBC has approached the sexual misconduct within the convention, I'm arguing for a move to embrace sufficiency of Scripture and to avoid more pragmatism. Pragmatism kills. But what I've been accused of is being insensitive or trying to harbor individuals who, are guilty of these various sins. That's not at all the case. I'm very much against people who have committed adultery or assaulted women or abused children and women. I'm against them serving in any leadership position within a local church or denominational setting. But as I've been accused of also withholding individual names or resisting reform. Now, that's somewhat humorous to me because I'm not at all against reform. But my question is, how far do you want to go when it comes to Reformation? Like, I'm all for Reformation, but I'm not for the sort of middle of the road Reformation and reform and policies and procedures that the SBC elites are trying to lead the convention to embrace. I'm very much for genuine biblical reformation, which looks like looking to the Bible to see how a church is to function, how a church is to worship, and how a church is to discipline sinful members within the context of that local church. And if a crime has been committed, then you immediately get the civil authorities involved. You don't have to go and create some middle of the road database whereby you malign the character of individuals. That's not the role of the Southern Baptist Convention.
And how do you speak to those brethren that you know who are in the Southern Baptist Convention when they look at this daunting task of transforming that denomination biblically? How daunting a task it is, since even if you want to say half of the churches in that denomination aren't following biblical principles when it comes to discipline and a proper way to conduct church polity and other things, how do you give them the encouragement that they can press on with a confidence that God will bring about transformation just as he did with the Protestant Reformation?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, that's a fantastic question. And I think herein lies the rub or the tension point for me. I was, recently preaching at a conference alongside Tom Askell, and during the Q&A, I was asked a question about when should we leave the Southern Baptist Convention, and everyone looked at me like I was the one that was supposed to answer that question because he recently left the Southern Baptist Convention. But it was in that Q&A that I answered, and I basically said Tom Askell and I are looking at things from two different lenses, or through two different lenses, if you will. Tom is looking at the Southern Baptist Convention and seeing the profitability of the convention, that it's a large network, that it's the largest Protestant denomination, that if we don't do something, then the bad actors are going to be in charge and they're going to do bad things with the entities and the seminaries and all of that. And so I'm looking at it from a convictional standpoint, that I can't any longer give money to a system that's broken, a system that is committed to capitulation, a system that is committed to pragmatism and a lack of confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture. And so for us, Chris, it came to a place where we said we did not see a good path forward. So convictionally, it was a violation of our conscience to continue to give money to the SBC. So back in December, we exited the Southern Baptist Convention. Our church made a unanimous decision to do that, led by the elders. Now, to those who choose to stay in to fight for reform, I say go for it. And I pray, that the Lord blesses the work and the labor of your hands. But I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but I don't genuinely see it happening. Let's just say Tom Askell is elected in 2 weeks at the Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting. Well, if he is elected, what we're going to see is basically an uphill battle. It's going to be the beginning of about 20 to 25 years of a slugfest to bring about genuine reformation in the Southern Baptist Convention. And then you're only going to be back at what I would consider to be center point. And then you've got to start moving in the right direction towards biblical sufficiency. So it's a massive uphill battle. I believe if Tom Askell is elected in 2 weeks, that he will likely not see the end result of the Reformation in his lifetime. That's how much of an uphill battle it is. So again, not to sound pessimistic, but I don't genuinely anticipate the Southern Baptist Convention coming out of this thing. I don't see the SBC recovering from this. I don't see a conservative resurgence 2.0 happening. And so for that reason, we're out. And I do pray for Tom Askell and others, but I don't see it happening.
By the way, folks, if you want to hear Dr. Tom Askell's side of this, I interviewed him recently on May 11th, to be exact, to discuss his candidacy for the Southern Baptist Convention president. You can go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive, where our podcasts and past shows are present. The links, the audio links for those. That's A-S-C-O-L is the spelling of his last name. You could type that in the search engine, and all of my interviews with Dr. Tom Askell will appear. Or you could just scroll down in the archive of the podcast past shows for May 11th, and you'll see Dr. Askell's program. And to reiterate my guest today, Dr. Joss Buice, and I both love and have a very high esteem for Dr. Askell, so we're not in any way besmirching him or his reputation at all. And I pray for nothing but the best for him and all he sets his hand to do. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, I know that the United Methodist denomination recently split with the conservative members of that denomination forming a new group called the Global Methodists. I have also heard on Chris's show that members of the PCA are fearing but expecting something similar to happen amongst them. Have you heard the rumblings of that happening in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah, Chris, it's been predicted for a very long time that there would be a quote-unquote a civil war, or that there would be a split or a splintering that would take place. And this fracture was predicted to be precipitated on the basis of Calvinism years ago. But interestingly enough, it's the issues of social justice and all of the things that fall beneath the banner of social justice, such as complementarianism and egalitarianism and, ethnic prejudice or racism and all sorts of other things that are at this point precipitating what could potentially be a split in the SBC in the days to come. So again, it really just boils down to the heart of these pastors and these churches. Do they want to see genuine health and vitality, or do they not? And if the conservatives continue to fight, it could result in either a long battle that could result in reform, or a long battle that could result in reform as a result of a split and the smaller of the two groups going their own way. And so it is very possible that that would be the case over the next 10 years or so.
And as discomforting as that kind of thing may be to people, I mean, just to split and to lose members and to even have congregational splits, as tragic as they are, that can be the road to preserving a more biblical unity amongst at least a portion of that group, isn't it?
Absolutely, it could be. I mean, sometimes we think of a split in a local church as being detrimental, and it could be as a result of sin or capitulation or whatever it, might be. In some cases, if a church is sinning and a church is led by pastors who are capitulating, for the conservative biblical members of that church to eventually split off as a result of the fact that, biblical church discipline was not capable because the leadership would not comply or what have you. In that case, that split would be a healthy thing for the ones who, seek to go and obey God and honor the scriptures. In the case of the convention itself, splitting could help, but the problem is is if the conservatives split off and the progressives or the liberals, if you will, if they retain ownership and control of the seminaries and all of the educational entities and mission agencies, that could be problematic. So in that case, either the conservatives need to just, you know, stay in and continue to fight and hope that they can win the day, or, you know, go on and form another network or join the G3 Church network.
Amen. And tell us about what are the qualifications to be a part of the G3 network, and what does that actually mean? I asked Tom the same question, Dr. Tom Askell, recently, a question involving the fact that Baptists historically have clung tenaciously to the long-held belief, and a belief that is viewed by these Baptists as thoroughly biblical, from God's inerrant breathed out words, that local congregations are independent and autonomous, and they have no higher authority in them than the inerrant word of God and Christ himself. There are no denominational hierarchies where we would disagree with our dear Presbyterian brethren, where there are presbyteries and so on, and denominational figures outside of the local church. How does the G3 network of churches, forgive me if I misspoke in the way that you phrased it, but the association of churches that you are in the process of developing, how does that maintain, if at all, the long-held, cherished Baptist principle of autonomous and independent congregations?
Yeah, so again, that's at the heart of this entire conversation that we're having today about the way that the SBC is approaching this issue of creating databases and so on and so forth. And I'm arguing that it's not the job of the SBC to do those things. It's either the civil authorities or the local church, because of this long-held belief in the local autonomy of individual congregations. And so that's what we hold to. Now, the G3 Church Network exists as a network, not a denomination, and we hold to, you know, a few different prerequisites. Number one, the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith is our confessional statement, and we allow for churches who are, say, Southern Baptists, but they're led by men who are genuinely, you know, reformed, and they're seeking reformation in their own local church. Their church may not have the 1689 as its official statement, but the pastors who are leading that church can actually subscribe to the 1689. Well, then that's okay, and we would allow those individuals to be a part of the G3 Church Network. We also ask that either the church as a whole, by name, or at least the pastors of the church, be willing to sign the statement on social justice and the gospel. So the stake in the ground that demonstrates, okay, we're like-minded churches and we can work together, is the 1689. And then sort of a gate that keeps churches from coming in that are more progressive and leaning left on matters of social justice is the statement on social justice and the gospel. And we ask that the pastors or the church itself would sign that statement. So if a church does those things and they're willing to be a part of our network, then of course they can join. Now, we also have a minimum of a $500 annual dues. And churches can give more, and we can use more money to do more gospel ministry, and our, you know, staff can produce more literature, and we can engage in more projects if we have more money. But we've set the bar so low that a 12-person, you know, or a church that's basically a brand new church plant with only 12 members could be a part of this network. And so we have monthly meetings, Chris, with the pastors, and it's just really, really encouraging. We have fruitful conversations, and we engage in genuine fellowship. And we have a G3 app. And if you're in the network, then the pastors in that network can message one another through the app as well. And it just provides for good conversation and overlap. So right now, just to give you an idea, our local church, Praise Mill, is currently praying through the process. And we've had an initial meeting in Tennessee about planting a church north of Nashville. And so if we decide that that's going to be an official project, we'll publish that project within the G3 Church Network, and other churches in the network can engage that project, and they can pray with us, supply funds, or even supply elders that can go and serve either temporarily or even move and relocate to be a part of this church plant. So that's what we're up to, and I would certainly welcome those that listen to your show that want to have a genuine, healthy fellowship of churches to engage in the G3 Church Network. And you can find the application at our website. That's g3min.org.
And we're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. Please, if you have a question, send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be back with Pastor Josh Bice right after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Lloydsville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we have our final segment now with Pastor Josh Price of Praiseville Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, and founder of G3 Ministries. We have another anonymous listener who says, I am going to try to urge my pastor and other pastors I know to investigate joining your G3 Ministry of Churches. And I was wondering if you prohibit churches that adhere to the New Hampshire Confession or the First London Confession, or churches that are Calvinist but dispensationalist.
Yeah, that's a good question, Chris. We do not prohibit churches that hold to those specific positions. However, what we do allow is for people to say, okay, a pastor could say, we hold to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Even if it's not our official doctrinal statement of our church, we as pastors of this church can subscribe to this confession with the following qualifications. And so you can spell out the qualifications that you might have with specific articles. And then in that application, we would review it and then allow for churches to join. So, in other words, we're not all 100% clones of one another in the network, and we do recognize that you might have an issue with a specific article or two, and so we're just looking for churches to be close in fellowship instead of more broad, big tent, if that makes sense.
And I'd like you to have approximately 2 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Yeah, the main thing I want to drive home, Chris, is that whether it's the Southern Baptist Convention, the G3 Church Network, or your local church, or even your own personal family, is that the Bible is sufficient. God's Word is sufficient. The Word of God is capable of directing how we live, how we serve, how we worship, how we do life. And so the very moment that we lose confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture, we open the gates to all sorts of capitulation. And we have seen that in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention. And if you're listening to today's program and you're a part of the SBC, I would urge you to prayerfully consider, if you're going to be voting in Anaheim, California, that you would get behind Tom Aspel, vote for him to be the president, and pray that he and others within that convention would lead the convention to biblical reformation.
Praise God. And don't forget, folks, the G3 Regional Conference is coming up September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. The theme is Just Thinking About the Bible. The Bible is Sufficient is the subtitle of that theme. And the speakers are my guest, Dr. Josh Bice, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Dr. James R. White, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, the co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. If you want to register for this conference, go to g3min.org, G3MIN, the abbreviation for ministry, g3min.org, and register. And please make sure that if you do register, you come by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth and say hello to me. That will greatly encourage me. And I will love to meet, as I always do, not only listeners that I've been aware of over the number of years we've been doing this broadcast, but also meeting for the very first time brethren in Christ who have been blessed by the program, whom I have never before met. That always fills me with a lot of joy. And also, if you would like to be interviewed by me, we conduct on-site interviews at these events. So I would love to meet you and interview you and hear from you about what may be burdening your heart and mind. Well, thanks again, Pastor Josh, for doing such a superb job today. I look forward to your soon return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And let me also remind our listeners about your church website, praisemill.com, praisemill.com, and that's praysmill.com. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.